When things go wrong in life and we have made mistakes due to our conditioning, we blame ourselves and go into depression, self-abuse under the garb of humanity. And then someone says it is our karma. That is even more devastating. We blame ourselves as victims. How to correct this, come out of this and become positive? As devotees, how do we understand this? Yeah. See, firstly, the basic principle in spiritual life is anumulya sankalpa uti punyasya vachana. What is favorable, we accept that in bhakti. What is unfavorable, we reject that. So, even whether it's our mistakes, that is, or our past bad karma, all that knowledge should be used to assist us in our bhakti. If anything is made into something negative, something which is going to hurt us, going to alienate us in bhakti, then that should be avoided. So, yaya svapnam vayam shokam vishadam matamevacha na vimanchati durmedha dhrutisa partha tamasi. In the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, I think 32nd verse, Krishna says that he talks of determination in the mode of ignorance. So, what is determination in the mode of ignorance? That means that we hold on to things that are tamasic. And he said, yaya svapnam. Svapnam is daydream, constant dream. Oh, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that, maybe I'll do that. And don't do anything practical. Bhaya, constant fear. Yes, there is a healthy fear and an unhealthy fear. There is what is called a paranoia. Paranoia means people are constantly feeling that something is going to go wrong and things are going to collapse. Everything is going to go wrong. Some people are driving on the road and they think my brake will fail or my wheel will come off and I'm going to get an accident and die. It's all can become very dangerous. So it's very damaging for us. So by so just negative fantasy. So that is tamasic. Svapnam bhayam shokam. Constantly lamenting over things. Constant. Some people are just habitually gloomy. No matter whatever positivity is, every problem, every good thing also they will find the faults in it. That is not of much use. Vishadam madame. Some people are always intoxicated. Vishadam. Vishadam means people are constantly just lamenting. Hey, this went wrong, that went wrong, that went wrong. So, na vimunjati durmedha. Na vimunjati means they don't give it up. Actually, to always be negative is not easy. Because being negative, it causes distress to us. But we still hold on to that. And Krishna says that also requires determination. But that is determination in the mode of ignorance. And such determination is unhealthy. That is to be given up. So, if something, some problems are there, if they are because of our past karma, even if they are, so what? The point is, what can I do right now? Generally speaking, the principle of karma is more of an intellectual explanation for evil. It is not an emotional explanation for evil. That means, you know, it doesn't really satisfy one emotion. And then you say, oh, it's your own past karma. What karma could I have done? So many problems are coming in my life. Oh, somebody says, you must have been very sinful. This is horrible. It is sometimes the knowledge of karma can make us very, very insensitive. There was one Mataji who asked me a question, or rather, she visited my website and she posted a comment. So what had happened, she was in America, she had come to a temple. First time she came to a temple and she had heard of karma and she asked a question to a preacher. She asked that, you know, if a woman is raped, does that mean by the law of karma that she had raped someone in the previous life? Now, the preacher said, yes. My God. For 10 years, he never came to temple. And then, in Delhi a few years ago, there was a terrible gang rape that had happened. So, I had written an article about that, and after that, one Mataji had asked a question on that. Now, what karma had that girl done because of which she got raped like this? So, I had answered the question saying that, no, we should not ever be asking this question at all. And I gave the same example that I gave today in the class. You know, when Sita was abducted and Draupadi was dishonored, nobody asked what karma they had done. What the question was what was the karma? It was there were so many protectors of Draupadi, there were so many protectors of Sita. They could not protect. And that was the, how could they rectify that? That was the focus. So we should not, if somebody is a victim, we should never be thinking about what wrong they have done. We should be focusing on what is the right thing for us to do in that situation. So apparently, so it was an elaborate answer. I won't go to the full answer over here. But the point is, this Mataji, who has now become a devotee, she heard this answer to the podcast on my website. She heard it. And then she wrote to me. She said that for 10 years, she was so angry. She felt almost angry with the whole philosophy of karma, with this cause, with Bhagavad Gita. And then when she heard this answer, so she said that, now actually karma is not that simple. Right? Sometimes we may say, you kill a cow and then a cow, you will become a cow and the cow will become a human and then you will be killed. Now this is a demonstration given to explain how karma may work. But it's not that every single thing has a causal explanation like that. Right? There's so many situations. You know, if I slip and fall and I fracture my leg, what did I do? The floor was me and I was the floor. So, there are certain graphic demonstrations given to illustrate the principle of karma. But they are not the only reasons why certain problems may come up. And especially when there is injustice, when there is atrocity, at that time, to try to explain away the magnitude of the suffering that the people are having by saying it is because of past karma, that is totally insensitive. It's completely, we are meant to be messengers of Krishna's love. And as a part of his love, we also give his wisdom. But if we present the philosophy of karma in a way which alienates people, then we are actually misrepresenting Krishna. So, the point is that if somebody is a victim of any kind of suffering, then at that time the focus should be on helping in whatever ways. Never get into what is the cause. Just like a simple example to illustrate this. That suppose a patient has, you know, because of illicit sex got AIDS or got some terrible disease, sexually transmitted disease, and that person comes to a doctor. Now, the doctor says, you rascal. You had a illicit sex, that's why you got this. Serves you right. Suffer now. That's not the doctor's duty. The doctor's duty is primarily to help the patient. The patient is in pain. The doctor helps the patient, use painkillers, use medicines. And over a period of time, as a part of the treatment, the doctor also gives education. You know, this is what caused this, and it is better that you avoid this. But the primary focus of the doctor is giving treatment. And within the context of the treatment, the education about the behavior can be given. So similarly, you know, as preachers of Krishna's message, our primary goal is to help people. In the Bhagavatam, third canto, it said that, in a couple of sections, it said that the devotees, they travel the world assuring people of fearlessness in the Lord's service. And those who do like this, they become very dear to the Lord. So we are not meant to make people fearful, we are not meant to make people guilty. We are meant to assure them that in the Lord's service, there is fearlessness available. There is security available. There is safety and joy available. And that's like a doctor giving treatment. And within the scope of the treatment, we also talk about morality. And we talk about karma. That should never be the first talking, and that should never be done in a judgmental or a victimizing kind of way. So if the thoughts of our own past karma, they make us feel depressed, then we should know that, okay, I may have done any kind of karma, whatever I have done, but still Krishna is there in my heart. So Krishna has not abandoned me and gone away. Krishna has not thought this fellow is good for nothing, you let me know. Krishna always stays in our heart. And actually, there is nothing that we can ever do that can stop Krishna from loving us. But nothing that we can ever do. No jiva has the power to do anything which will, say, which will make Krishna give up on that jiva. So Krishna always loves us, Krishna always cares for us, Krishna is always there in our heart for us. And Krishna is there in our heart, not to catch us when we do wrong, but He is there to catch us when we fall. When we slip and fall, He is there to help us. Krishna is a coach, He is not a critic. He knows our faults and He wants us to correct our faults. But His goal is not a goal, His mood is not of a critic. This is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. His mood is of a coach. Yes, you're doing this right and these are the things which you need to improve. So we need to have a positive understanding of Krishna. And there is a whole, the mind is so complex. The philosophy of karma, it can actually be very empowering. Because if we understand karma properly, what we understand is that things don't just happen by random chance. That, okay, I did something wrong, so I got something wrong. But if I do right now, in the future I'll get right. So that way, if you understand karma, not in terms of what all I did in the past. So there is karma as postmortem and karma as prognosis. Karma as postmortem means, hey, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did that happen? There is no point in doing post-mortem. No, what we did because of which you got a particular reaction is almost impossible. But the principle of karma is primarily for prognosis. Prognosis means that okay, if I do this, this is going to happen. If this is bad karma, this is good karma. Therefore, let me avoid these things. So if we approach karma in that way, then the philosophy of karma can actually empower us because we understand I'm doing right and in the future I'll get good results. And that way we can actually become more confident and less insecure. But if we don't understand the philosophy of karma properly, then the same philosophy which is meant to be psychologically empowering, psychologically confidence inducing, that can become psychologically damaging. There is many people have different kinds of phobias. There is one peculiar phobia called theophobia. Theophobia is fear of God. Now God is actually the source of fearlessness. Fear runs away when Krishna comes. That's what the Bhagavatam says. But the mind can be so twisted that what is this theophobia? People think that God is a very vindictive God. And if I do anything wrong, God is going to punish me. So they think that God is just waiting to punish me. They give an example. There was some Christian woman, she had been taught by her priest that, if you don't practice Christianity properly, God will punish you. That is the hell and brimstone kind of preaching. So what happened is, there was some day when she was supposed to fast. And she did not fast on that day. And then 1 week after that, her daughter died in a car accident. And she somehow got the idea that because I did not fast on that day, that's why my daughter died. There's no correlation in that. And she felt that, why did God extract such a severe punishment from such a small thing? But she felt if I express this protest against God, maybe God will punish me more. And she became so terribly damaged by that. And then she went to a psychologist and the psychologist tried to deprogram her. And the psychologist was an atheist and he wrote a big article and that became a big issue. And atheists started beating Christianity and religion by that. This is how religion damages people. But it's not religion damaging people. This theophobia is not actually fear of God. It is fear of our own distorted conception of God. So the same philosophy, the same God through whom we can get fearlessness. If we turn towards Krishna, if we understand Krishna's love for us, we can actually become free from depression. Because we understand that whatever has happened, Krishna still loves me. Krishna is there with me. I just need to keep serving him. But if we don't get a proper understanding, that's why hearing Shastra and hearing Shastra from devotees who help us clarify our understanding, that is very important. Then we will not let our mind misinterpret the philosophy in a way that disheartens us. Does that address your question? Thank you very much. Yes.